Hey everybody, Craig Smoke here with a rapid reaction podcast on Sikkim365.com. Post BYU as Kalani Sitake and the Cougars dominate in the first quarter and hold on to earn a 34-28 victory over the Bears at McLane Stadium. Number 22 BYU stands to move up now 5-0 on the season in the top 25 rankings next week and will most certainly move past Oklahoma State, who got trounced by K-State and is now 0-2 in Big 12 play, whereas BYU now 2-0 in the Big 12. Speaking of 0-2, the Bears, that's who you're here to hear about. Now 2-3 overall, 0-2 in the league, under 500, that's right, just like that. And a very frustrating game, a game where if you got downright angry, especially early, I don't blame you. And if you're frustrated, then I'm right there with you because, sure, we can applaud the effort, and we can recognize that it very much looked like a team that was hungover from Colorado or had even quit in some cases, just didn't have it in that first quarter. To see what you saw by the end of the game, that was great. That was encouraging. And it definitely was a tale of two different teams in a way. But at the same time, I'm kind of tired of applauding effort. You know, I'm kind of tired of applauding very normal things that are sometimes bigger than just normal and are signs of progress and signs of a team improving. And certainly I do think this year's team is better than last year's team, but does that really matter now at this point? To some extent, yes, but when the losses keep piling up, to some extent, no. And I just thought that we were bound to see the end of the Aranda era as that first quarter was drawing to close sooner rather than later. How could you not have that thought cross your mind with a sparse stadium and with absolutely nothing to show for a first frame when you're welcoming in a top 25 team and when you're coming off of a brutal loss? Like, people are wanting to see how you're going to react. And certainly they appeared like they weren't over the Colorado loss. But by the end, yeah, they were a team that could hang their head high as far as the effort and as far as not quitting and those things. But man, after a while, it starts to feel like very little league, you know, when it's always a loss and you're going, well, hey, they, at least they didn't quit. And yeah, it was another loss, but they still believe. It's 10 straight losses to top 25 teams. Yeah, well, there's still belief. I mean, that's what it feels like sometimes, and that's certainly what it feels like somewhat coming off of today's game. And I don't want to focus too much on the negative, but like just the stat that I just mentioned, the 0-10 in the last 10 versus ranked teams. I mean, my goodness, what even is that? Like, bad teams aren't even 0-10 against their last 10. Don't get me started on home records. Don't get me started just on outcomes against respectable opponents, because when's the last time this team beat somebody that mattered and beat somebody they weren't supposed to beat? When was the last time that happened? They were favored in this game today and we're down 21-0 before you even like had a chance to sit down and bake in the sun for more than 5 minutes. It was a ridiculous start that doomed them from the get-go. And that's another thing I'm just sort of tired of. Can't start, can't finish. Can't start, can't finish. Can't start, can't finish. Another bad start. And somebody in the post-game press conference asked Aranda about this, and they like had the preface of the fact that this goes back to, you know, last year, maybe even beyond that. And he wanted to differentiate the teams, like, just because that happened last year, where last year's a different team. And he's correct, but there's a common theme that for some reason the teams around you for the last couple of years now at least have not started well. So, you know, they are different teams, but there's a common theme here of them not starting well regardless of that. So, like, that's a problem. And the inability to drive in a dagger or to rise back from the dead. Like, they did that with UCF last year. They won at Cincinnati in the clutch. But they don't have that gene in them this year. And they really could have used it last week. And it really felt like maybe they were going to be able to display it this week and an improbable comeback after all that I just said and the bad feelings of that first quarter. But alas, just more heartbreak, just more ways that the football gods are out there for whatever reason toying with Baylor fans, because the excruciating ways in which they get you invested, even when it looks like there's no hope whatsoever, only to then crush your heart later on. It's just, it's becoming totally unbelievable. All of the different ways, it seems like they're finding ways to lose or just getting beat. And I feel like today was finding ways to lose more so than anything at the beginning, because you did not execute and perform very well in that first quarter. BYU did, sure, but we saw by the end of that game, when everything was kind of on a more even playing field as far as competitiveness and execution, Baylor could have won that game just like they could have beat Colorado. But alas, can't start, can't finish. Really bad start. But I guess let me stick with a couple of other things. Just no run game whatsoever. That's become incredibly frustrating, and that's just not changed at all. Aranda said in the post game that he put a little bit of that on the O-line, and he put a little bit of that on the running backs. And I can see that, and I can also just say that I don't care whose fault it is at this point. Another thing we haven't really seen in 2 years, ranked wins, wins against teams that matter, and a run game. There were a lot of players missing. There is some context needed, although by no means does it change my opinion on this game. But you didn't have Caden Jenkins, apparently due to a concussion. Some other guys for disciplinary issues. Steve Linton being a guy that didn't play today, amongst what I think was all told like 11 to 14 guys, I think is what Aranda said at one point. Or maybe I heard that or read that elsewhere. I don't quite remember where I got that entirely, but I know Colt Barber of our Fair website had the list, and Caden Jenkins was on there, Chateau Reed, Kendrick Simpkins, Garmin Randolph, Steve Linton, Jacquez Evans were some of the guys who were not out there today, and I don't know what the final tally or the final listing was, because I was so preoccupied by just being bummed out about the way that game was going. So yeah, not all of that was injury-related. And we'll see, although good news is for those like myself who at least question why Caden Jenkins wasn't playing, well, it wasn't like he was entering the transfer portal. He was actually dinged up. So that was refreshing to hear and a good moment in what was otherwise a pretty negative day because of the outcome, and just another missed opportunity and another heartbreak. Some other guys got in trouble, and I don't know any of the details. And there weren't any details given in the post-game press conference. Aranda kept it very vague on both, like, the guys. Like, it was all just one bunch. There's guys who missed because they were injured. There's guys who missed because they were, I guess, in the doghouse. And I don't know what that means, but we got nothing in terms of really any light shed on that. So we'll see where that takes us. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you dabble in the transfer portal and there's reasons guys are available. So that was something that obviously hurt this team as well, is not having a handful of players who have started for you or have played a lot of snaps or are major contributors for you. So not what you want from your football team, and a culture thing that's got to be cleaned up, taken care of, and improved upon. I did, you know, appreciate the way they fought back. I mean, you do have to respect that. Down 21-0, they had every reason to perhaps tuck their head and quit 31-14 at halftime, but they plugged away and were able to make it at least a little bit interesting there late in that game, and a lot interesting in some ways, but just never quite got close enough to drive their own dagger in. And maybe one day they'll learn that, but it's really costing them this year, especially these last couple of weeks, that inability to finish and close games and have a killer instinct, or just have a killer who's a type of player that is there for those big types of moments. You know, instead the pass goes a little too far, or just can't reel it in, or just not playing clean football, you know, penalties at inopportune times. They can't drive it in there. And I wonder today if they were going to turn this beautiful corner and not only rebound from the Colorado loss, but rebound from the Colorado loss, being hung over in the first quarter, digging yourself out of a 21-0 hole, and putting on a fantastic win for a crowd that desperately needs it. And it's like, nope, more heartbreak. But they had their opportunities, and they kept fighting, and they gave themselves a chance to win that game a couple of different times, but just couldn't finish. It goes back to that. But it was nice to see at least a little bit of bang for your buck and entertainment value for any neutral observers, but certainly for, you know, fans and media like observing. Good to see that that first quarter was more of the aberration than anything. Because if it wasn't, then we'd be having a lot different conversation right now, although the end goal is kind of the same eventually if they keep losing games. What now? They're staring down the eye of 2-4 heading into the bye week. They'll go to Ames next week to play Iowa State, who's top 25. They're winning last I looked, and I would assume they're going to win against Houston, although it's taking them a little while to get any separation here, so we'll see. But that game down in H-Town, Iowa State number 18, and I'm thinking that they'll win this game and go back to Ames, and Baylor will have another crack at top 25 team, just not at home, and we'll see what they can do with that. But it's gonna take a little while to kind of ramp back up from this one, because even though there was a lot of energy there at the end and a lot of fire, it's just it kind of rings hollow and empty sometimes when you start off the way that you did, and it's just another big stage, or not even big stage, but an important opportunity for the growth and the momentum, and there's just no momentum because you can't take advantage of it. Growth, maybe there's some of that, but that's more for the coaches to, you know, see firsthand. So from the outsider point of view, it just feels like kind of more of the same, more disappointment, more like, hey, yeah, I see signs. It looks like it could be good, but like, when exactly is that supposed to happen? You know, I will say that early on they're playing apparently some pretty good teams. If you look at the records, we'll see what it looks like at the end of the year. But perhaps it's a case where the second half lightens up a little bit, and at that point you're operating a football team where you can actually take advantage of that and make things interesting. But perhaps not as well. If you can't finish, you can't start. Vice versa, can't start, can't finish, and you can't make the big play that, or that one more play, that one last score, as long as that continues to evade them, I mean, the story's going to be the same. And long season ahead, but not really, because you're getting very close to the halfway mark. And in fact, you're going to hit that bad boy next week. So will it be 3-3 with a surprising win in Ames, or will it be 2-4? Tend to lean to the latter, but you never know. It's the Big 12 after all, and crazy things happen. But disappointing results. Not surprising, but certainly disappointing. Was hoping for a nice bounce back, was hoping for a nice win at home, hoping for a ranked win, hoping for a lot of the things that I mentioned that have not been a part of the equation lately. And, you know, I guess on to the next one, and there will be some of those opportunities against the Cyclones, but this team's got to get better. We got to see what the aftermath is of whoever missed games and why, and what that means moving forward. They got to get the running game operating somehow. I don't care who's to blame. You got to get it going. It just it handicaps them so much, and it's just ridiculous of how difficult it looks a lot of the times. Just nothing there. But Sawyer Robertson was awesome. Josh Cameron was really, really good as well. Huge game for him, a career game for him. Great game for Sawyer. They fought back, like I mentioned, and there were a lot of things to like, and certainly Sawyer Robertson is your QB1. I don't think there's any doubt about that, nor was there really going into this game, but certainly after this game, I don't think there's any question. Daquan Finn wasn't even dressed out. He was just in a jersey on the sidelines. He's still banged up, clearly. He wasn't going to play even if he had been needed to. Or if something were to happen, I should say, to Sawyer, God forbid, then Daquan wasn't ready to go in the game. So it's very clearly Sawyer Robertson's team right now. Even if that wasn't the case and he was suited out, he played really well. He gave them a chance. Again, just a couple big plays away from making this even more interesting. But I thought you really liked what you saw today from Sawyer Robertson, and that's the guy to build around. Couple of interceptions. That first one on the first drive really set them up poorly to kind of have things go the way that they did early on. But overall, I thought he played a really solid game. And they just have to be better. They have to start better. They have to finish better. And if they can do that, then maybe they'll kind of be able to turn the spirits around in these next few weeks. But it's going to be really hard to do if you can't get a run game scrounged together. Outside of that, again, starting and finishing and, you know, back to the drawing board. 2-3, don't have time to pout. You got to get ready for a big road trip, and then you'll get to take your little quick break, which I'm sure will be much needed after six straight games to start the season. But you can feel some of the apathy, you can feel some of the anger, you can feel some of the frustration, and there's a little bit of all that today. There's also some hope. There's also some optimism, but I know that's in the eye of the beholder and certainly not how everyone feels based on the turnout today in McLane Stadium. So we'll see where this takes us. Week six now up on the horizon, but BYU rolls into Waco, takes care of business 34-28, and the Bears now head to Ames to take on the Cyclones. We'll talk about it all week over on Sikkim365.com and on 365 Sports. And hopefully they can build off of some of what they saw from Sawyer Robertson and Josh Cameron and certainly the defense in the later parts of that game. Just crumple up that first quarter and throw it in the trash can and try not to repeat that anytime soon, or else we're going to be talking about a lot more losses on the way these next few weeks. So we'll see how they bounce back. Until next time, I'm Craig Smoke, and this has been the Rapid Reaction Podcast on Sikkim365.com.